It's time for Field Notes, brought to you by the Montana Natural History Center. There's an ant, and she's next to my foot, dragging a fly up the same hill that I've just stopped trying to drag myself up. All worker ants are females, and this particular female has a black fly in her mandibles, but she's having a hard time keeping it there because she's negotiating her way backward through lichen, and the uncooperative, dead fly keeps getting hung up. When she finally makes it out of the lichen, she turns around and carries the fly with no problems at all up the vertical face of a rock, over the top, and back into more lichen. I get down onto the ground and watch this creature, who doesn't seem to know I exist, wrestle food for the colony uphill. She's a carpenter ant, on her way back to her colony, which is above me in a rotting log with sawdust piles at the entrance, the displaced result of worker excavations. Carpenter ants can be found throughout the Rocky Mountains. The higher you go, the bigger they get, the individual ants, I mean. Their colonies are not all that large as far as ant colonies go. They normally include up to several hundred ants. Compare this to leafcutter ant colonies in South America that can have up to several million members. But where leafcutters are farmers, carpenter ants are hunter-gatherers. And hunting and gathering, as we humans know, is not a way of life that can support large population densities. Carpenter ants primarily collect insects and honeydew, but they like fruit juices and grains of sugar and other sweets, too. My ant, not finding honeydew or sweets in any great supply, I suppose, has settled for an insect. She's carrying this insect in her mandibles, which are to her what a fully stocked home and garden center at Sears is to a human. She uses these mandibles to defend herself and her colony, to dig and bore through wood and soil, to hold on to and carry things, to groom herself, to care for her colony's brood, and to communicate with other ants. The muscle that attaches her mandible to her head is the largest muscle in her body. It's what allows her to carry, on average, between 1.5 and 6 times her body weight back from a scavenging expedition. Ant mandibles are the result of some impressive evolutionary adaptation. And as useful, necessary, and impressive as my carpenter ant's mandibles are, there are some ants in the world whose sets put hers to shame. One of these is the Strumigenes ant, which can be found from the southeastern United States to Argentina. This species has evolved a special mechanism called a trap jaw that allows it to close its mandibles in 2.5 millionths of a second, a speed much faster than any muscle can contract. The trap jaw is used for hunting and is actually very similar to the mechanism that enables locusts and fleas to jump so high and so quickly. Normally, things like speed of running, jumping, and predatory strikes are directly correlated to the size of the animal performing the action. The bigger the animal, the faster the strike, or the farther the jump. This isn't good news if you are small, if you're an ant or a locust or a flea. These insects, however, have adapted in such a way that they are no longer dependent on the speed of muscular contraction for jumping or striking. They've evolved muscular catapults that store slowly generated muscular energy as elastic strain energy, which they can rapidly convert to kinetic energy. This means their muscles stretch out slowly and latch. When released to jump or strike, the muscles snap back at almost incomprehensibly fast speeds, speeds literally as fast as thought. These speeds generate large forces as well. A human jumping from a standing position exerts forces on the ground of 2 or 3 times his or her body weight. A flea generates a force of 100 times its body weight when it jumps. Some ants have even gotten creative with their lightning-fast mandibles. There's a type of trap-jaw ant in South America that uses its mandibles to launch itself into the air. It puts its head against something hard, snaps its jaws shut, and flies off like a pea pinched from between your fingers. It uses its mandibles mostly for hunting, but when the colony is under attack, it will aim its backside at the attacker, chomp its jaws shut, fly through the air, and start biting upon landing. The carpenter ant that I am following does not have a trap jaw mandible attached to her head, but with her mandible muscle, she is still able to forklift a fly that's twice her size safely back to the nest, where other ants are on their way out. They stop and rub their antennae over my ant, asking her who she is, where she's coming from, what she's got with her. She tells them and disappears into the decomposing tree. The others follow their empty jaws down the hill. Kyle McClure wrote this week's Field Note. I'm Caroline Kurtz for Field Notes, brought to you by the Montana Natural History Center, providing natural history education for schools and the public throughout Montana. For information on upcoming Saturday Discovery Day programs and children's activities, call 327-0405. Or visit our website at www.montananaturalist.org.